Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What up, y'all? Welcome back to Beyond the Numbers. As always, I am one of your hosts, Will, and this is Ben.
Hello.
It's been a long time. We shouldn't have left Indeed. You without a podcast to step two. So let's get it. We got a lot to get into, you guys. Starting off with our most important news of the day.
At last.
Finally. Do you understand? We are on ESPN Radio, you all. ESPN Radio picked us up a couple of months ago. And we finally started. We finally got everything sorted out. If you all want more of what we do, you can always tune in to ESPN. What is it, 680, Ben?
ESPN 680 and 105.1. You can catch us on pretty much any radio streaming app. So iHeartRadio. We are on ESPN Louisville, of course. It's 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Saturday mornings right now, but we're going to get bigger and better. And the more that you all contribute, the quicker we get there.
And with that being said, we're going to get back into what you guys love.
Absolutely.
What are we starting out with, Ben?
You know what? I don't know about you. Did you watch the NBA Cup last night, sir?
Oh, my gosh. Did I?
Now
I lost about four. I lost $20, but it was a $400 parlay.
Yeah, that was a I made a bet on that, and I had, I don't know, I think it was like 11 leg parlay or something. And I really thought everybody was just going to go crazy. But honestly, the main players weren't the ones who did it all. They actually spread the ball around a lot. OG Anunoby, man, he went nuts last night, and I didn't bet on him to do hardly anything.
I don't think anybody did. Anunoby's been so silent, and it was so surprising when he just came out bombing like he did. And then nobody else did. Everybody else was quiet.
Jalen Brunson wasn't. Jalen Brunson did his thing.
He kind of was. He had 25 last night. He didn't really go crazy. He played his role, and he did it well.
Everybody on the Knicks played their role. The problem with the Spurs, and the reason I think they lost, is nobody wanted to do their role. They wanted to do all these fancy plays. Their defense was horrible at times. They were very hit or miss. They weren't consistent whatsoever. Taking unnecessary shots. They were not getting into the paint, or when their defense, they weren't getting rebounds. They weren't getting blocks. I mean, they were playing sloppy. And honestly, the fact that they beat the Thunder to come here, I would have felt honestly like, and I know we talked about it like on ESPN on Saturday. We talked about like if it were to somehow come down to even this, if somehow the Thunder were to lose, we'd pick the Knicks, and for good reason.
It's the problem was, okay, first off, that Thunder win, completely well-deserved. They outplayed the Thunder in pretty much every single way possible, and that honestly never happens in the league to the Thunder. So when I say that when I watched that game, I don't know about you. I know I watched both. When you watched it, you literally saw the Thunder getting outplayed. Every time Wimby came back on the court, even though he was on low minutes, every time he came back on the court, they were dumbstruck by what Wimby was doing. And then the bench players, oh my gosh, their bench came in and did all damage.
That's what they do. That's where the Spurs win their games at.
Yeah, and that's, once again, that's why they beat the Thunder. Now, coming into the game with the Knicks, they played sloppy ball. The bench could barely put up points. Even though the bench was doing the most of the points, they could barely do what they needed to do. Wimby, he might as well have just stayed on the bench, honestly. Like, I'm so sick of seeing his sloppy handles.
He looked like he was
it didn't matter. Literally, it didn't matter in the game with the Thunder, even though it happened a lot. Like, he was literally like mishandling the ball the entire time. He just got his points when he could. But anytime he had to actually move with the ball, he couldn't. That's an issue.
In this game,
they exploited that. Like, he was playing the most sloppiest ball ever.
Agreed. One thing that I think really killed the Spurs, mind you, they put up good points. They did. 113 ain't no slouch. You know, they lost 124 to 113. And when you look at it, like, I took the over on that game, and I was right for good reason. This is a high-scoring type of game. All of their guys were scoring. You know, the problem was only one player got over 20 points or even hit 20, and that was Harper. You know, Wemby was at 18, De'Aaron Fox, which, to be honest, he played down in this game. I think he's a big part of the reason that they lost. De'Aaron Fox was very sloppy. He made a lot of bad plays. He wasn't doing what he normally does. He got 16 points. Like, honestly, Castle, when you look at the top performers, Castle was really their best player out there. I mean, 15 points, 7 rebounds, 12 assists. I mean, he was getting points. He was spreading the ball around. He was coming out there making good decisions. Most of the others, not so much. The second closest in assists was Fox at 9. And the difference between what, like, him and Castle did were night and day. The rebounding, like I said, they were not getting good rebounds in most of the game. They were struggling. I mean, Cornette, really, I expected more from him. Didn't get what I was expecting from him. When I look at this as a whole, I see guys that are scoring, but I don't see guys consistently playing defense and consistently spreading the ball around. And that, when I watched that game, they were both going back and forth all the way through the first half. Lead changes. They would get a little lead, then the other one would come back. I mean, it was a beautiful first half, probably one of my favorite games of the year. Second half, things started to slide. Third quarter started off kind of good, and then, boy, by the fourth quarter, did things completely fall apart for the Spurs.
Completely agree. You can tell the difference in night and day with the two games that they play. With the Thunder, they play basketball. They were playing basketball out there. The plays, the movement of the ball, all of it was tight. You came into this game with the Knicks, and the Knicks didn't even play at their highest potential.
Cat had 16 points. Right.
Cat had 16 points. Brunson had 25.
He had 11 rebounds, though. He made up for it on defense.
That's cool. All of that's well and good. At the end of the day, the Knicks didn't even have to outscore y'all. Not like they usually have to do teams. They just literally had to come out there and play. And they won. There's no excuse for that. There's no excuse for the way that they play to me.
Well, at the end of the day, you and I called it exactly right. If the Thunder don't make it, right, it's going to be the Knicks, because we knew it was going to be the Knicks already. So it's going to be the Knicks and the Spurs. The Spurs are not built for what the Knicks offer, because when one player or two players are playing down, others step up. Again, when you look at, we were talking about the Spurs, everybody was scoring all right, but nobody was scoring and taking charge. Wemby wasn't doing his thing, right? You expected that he was going to. With the Knicks, everybody that was struggling, Ananobi, Brunson, they picked up the slack. They carried the team, and then the rest of the players, Cat being one of them, did what they were meant to do. They were the role player that they needed to be. The stats will tell you the story. They were getting the rebounds. They were controlling the ball with assists. They were spreading it around to the right people to get the points. They were playing exactly what they needed to do to win the game.
Why I don't like this game. That there we go. I think you just said it all. That's exactly why I don't like this game. Because the stats are actually exactly what you need to see to tell you exactly what happened in this game. And I don't like it. Because that is horrible. That is horrible. Like, there's no story to this.
It's my bread and butter.
Look at what happened. Look at what happened on the stat sheet, and you can tell exactly what happened in the game. They played down. Everybody on the Spurs team played down. There was
absolutely
nobody erupted. Nobody hit the acceleration button. For the Knicks, it was Anunoby. Nobody would have thought it was going to happen, but he did it.
We're not going to downplay Brunson, though. Listen, Jalen did some amazing things.
I was about to say something about Brunson. Brunson, okay. he did his little acceleration, but he didn't do what he used. In the last game against the Spurs, you know what Brunson had?
What?
41 points, sir. 41. This game, he had 25. When I say that everybody played down and nobody hit the acceleration button, the Knicks didn't have to. So Brunson did the minimum of what he usually does. That's fine and dandy. It's just when you're looking at, I only had Brunson for 25 points. He scored exactly 25 too. In my parlay, I had him for 25. I didn't think he was going to score 30.
I went 20 plus, but.
25 was the bare minimum I was willing to go, because at the end of the day, if he didn't score 25, then the Knicks would go lose.
That I agree with.
I don't care how you look at it. But on the same token, when I look at this stat sheet, Hat was 16. Michael Bridges, I think, had 12 or something like that.
He had 11.
11. Josh Hart had 11. And then you go over there to the Spurs, you hear those numbers and you're like, okay, there's no way that they won this game. But then you go over there at the Spurs and you're like, oh, they really did win this game. Like, then Wemby score, honestly, I didn't think he was going to finish with 18 points.
The way he was playing, I was definitely, at first I was like, all right, he's just getting warmed up. Like, he's going to come out here, he's going to hit his stride probably later in the second quarter. You know, I figured he'd kind of step it up there at the end of the half, or he would come in out of halftime and go crazy, but he just never did.
I hoped he would, but I didn't. Once I saw him miss that dunk, bro, you're 7-something foot. There's no missing dunks. I don't care what the excuse is.
Yeah,
miss dunks
is
7 foot tall.
Yeah, no. And I mean, the way he looked like he was frustrated. And I don't know if it was with the rest of the team or just with himself, but they all played mediocrity. That was the name of the game.
I want to point this out. While I am going to keep on downplaying the way that he played, because at the end of the day,
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Pain fuels the fire. The fire wins the game. But when Banyama did lose his grandmother the day before the game, so he was playing a little bit down, and he was more frustrated with himself and with the stuff going on in his life. I can completely understand that. But when we're looking at the greats, when we're looking at the GOATs, when we're looking at the stuff that goes on in everybody's life day to day, you don't get to give up. You don't get to have a lackluster performance. When you do, you get talked about. So with that being said, you played horrible, sir. You played horribly, and y'all didn't deserve that win.
They did not. And yes, you know, it's always sad to hear when somebody loses a loved one, especially coming into a game like this. It's got to be on one's mind, and it slows a person down. But like,
I gotta preference it. But once again, no excuse.
Indeed. Well, everybody, as we said, the Knicks took the dub on this one, 124 to 113. You've heard our opinions on it. Feel free to let us know. But in my opinion, mediocrity was the name of the game for the Spurs. And the Knicks just had a couple of players that decided to bring the heat, and that's how they took the lead, and that's how they won the game. So,
congratulations to the Knicks, NBA Cup winners. I don't know what the NBA Cup actually means, except for a big paycheck. But
yep.
All right.
All right. So, I want to get into football. a couple of games went some type of way back in our prior week with week 15. There's just a couple of games that went really wrong for some teams. I'm just gonna say it. All right. You kind of called it, and I mean, I can't say I'm really surprised by the end result of this game, but the Broncos beat the Packers. Now, I ain't just talking about the Packers because the Packers are my team, but because this actually was a really big game for both teams. This is actually a really big game for the AFC and the NFC. The NFC as a whole right now is in a very confusing and tumultuous time. All of the divisions, all of them are complicated. The seeding is just absolutely insanity right now. The Broncos, however, they might just come out number one seed in this, and they might honestly just be the team to truly beat. I mean, they haven't lost in quite some time. And
I hate the Broncos.
But Bo Nix balled out.
Now the Packers deserve that loss. If they let the Broncos beat them, then first off, y'all's playoff hopes are trash. Even if y'all make it, trash. Okay.
I mean, not in the NFC. Here's the thing. Hold on.
Michael Parsons is gone, sir. Y'all don't have a defense anymore. Y'all's defense is back to lackluster.
Hang on. Statistically, Michael Parsons has an impact. Michael Parsons has an impact, but sir, no. Our defense will be okay. It might struggle a little bit more now, especially with getting after a quarterback. But no. We are not going to fall apart. This isn't going to be the end of the road. This is not
beyond the end of the road.
No, sir. Michael Parsons is an impact player, but he is not the only impact player we have. Rashawn Gary is plenty good on the opposite side. Listen. I understand you want to bash the Pack, but listen, if we're going to set aside that for a minute, the Packers have been carrying plenty, even when Micah Parsons was on the bench, because they're at the beginning of the year. They were whole team. Listen. The Broncos are the team that every team needs to beat right now. And ain't nobody doing it. Not a single one so far since the beginning of the year.
I can name a couple.
They ain't done it. They ain't, and they probably won't. That's the problem. Every time you look at it, you say, oh, they'll beat them. And the Broncos pull it out. This wasn't widespread game. As always, the Broncos win in a close game fashion. Our defense did struggle in the end of the game. You know, when you lose in the game, when you lose one of your key stars, yeah, it's going to throw a wrench in the gears. The game plan suddenly changes. And when it's towards the end of the game that you're having to get in some of these situations, and you had to really modify your game plan entirely, yeah, it could lead to what happens where Bo Nix throws 4 touchdowns and 302 yards. I can't sit here and say that can't happen. RJ Harvey, man, he got in the end zone. I mean, you know, 19 times for 65, that's mediocrity, but he got in the end zone. The problem is our offense could not compete in the end. And a lot of that wasn't, it's the Broncos defense. They are the best defense in the league.
None of that was not the Broncos defense. Y'all have struggled offensively all year, sir. All year.
But
y'all had a couple of good games where Jordan Love's actually been able to pass the ball effectively. But all in all, struggling offensively is the name of y'all's year. Defense has been y'all's best friend. It's kept y'all in the game. It's kept. It's been able to make Jordan Love look like he's not been subpar this year.
You're wrong. Well, you're so wrong. Love has not been subpar. Look at his stats. This is statistically one of his only bad games he's had this year. Jordan Love is actually incredibly good as a quarterback. The only problem is when he doesn't get the time he needs to make these type of passes. And in this particular game, like I said, the Broncos defense is outstanding. They sacked him three freaking times. And not only did they sack him, they were all over him. And he did what any quarterback, he does what any quarterback who goes up against the Broncos this year does, and struggles. The Broncos are the kings of the AFC. And no one thought Bo Nix and the Broncos were going to be that team, especially since Bo Nix has been the definition of subpar for a vast majority of the season.
Once again, I hate the Broncos, so I hate the fact that I got to talk up about them, specifically because your Packers couldn't get the job done. But with that being said, the Broncos are going to run into a team that's not going to let them be subpar all game just to pull it out of them. It's not going to happen. Think about it. If we're talking about the Super Bowl, they could end up going up against a litany of dope teams. Let's put it like this. What team do you see? Because right now, I think the only one's been secured is the Rams. So
that's an NFC, though.
No, I'm saying they're the only playoff spot that's been secured, though. Out of all the...
Denver's locked. Denver's locked, sir. They are. I'm looking at it right now. They are the leader of the NFC North, and they've locked themselves a position. Sir, 12-2 record, and the way they won their division, there's no other team that's going to compete. The Chargers are 10-4. They're too far behind to secure a number one seed. So they're not winning that division. Therefore, because of statistics, and I'm looking at it right now, Denver's locked. Denver is locked. That is the only team currently in the AFC that has locked a playoff spot. The NFC, the Rams. So right now, the only two teams that are locked is the Rams from the NFC and the Broncos from the AFC. That's it. Everyone else is still up in the air for number two seeds on down. So the Broncos are secure and the Rams are secure. They can't lose anymore. I mean, their seeding could drop, but they cannot lose out and miss the playoffs.
So it comes down to the Broncos and the Rams?
If we were looking at it from, like, the two teams that have currently secured it, if they were to go to the playoffs and go to the – looking at it from the statistics, from the standpoint of, like, both of those teams being the two best teams in each – the best team in each conference, and thusly the two best teams in the NFL, yes, 100%. That would become the Rams, and it very well could, the Rams and the Broncos in the Super Bowl. For the record, would love it.
So do you really think that the Broncos can compete with the Rams?
For sure. Their defense alone is the reason they've stayed.
Oh, I can't argue with insanity.
Let's do something here. Let's do something here. Okay, because of the loss to the Bills, the Patriots haven't secured themselves a spot. But the chances are, because Miami and the Jets are completely out of this, that both teams are going to go to the playoffs. The records are really good. And they're both two of the better teams in the AFC. What's going to realistically happen here is the Broncos are going to have to get back past the Patriots or the Bills, or both, I guess, is possible. But probably going to have to get past the Patriots, because I think it's what they're going to wind up having to play. I would
imagine. I bet you $50 they don't get past the Patriots.
I would take your bet. I'll take your bet. For sure, I would take your bet at $50. Now, look, I don't bet big money, but in this particular instance, I'd be pretty near close to saying I'll throw 50 on that. I mean, I'm not, but
I know you.
I would rather.
I'm just saying, it's a figure of speech.
Here's my thing. If I were the Broncos, I would rather play the Patriots. They have a little bit more of a problem. And that is Drake May's experience compared to somebody like Josh Allen's. The Broncos are going to run into a more difficult problem against Buffalo than against New England. I say that because neither defense is necessarily, while the Patriots defense has a lot better record right now in regards to points against, I think the Bills would offensively, considering they have quite well outperformed the Patriots offensively as a whole for the season. I think that the Bills would give the Broncos a better run for their money. I think the Broncos would be quicker to drop to the Bills than the Patriots. However, you can't count out the rest of the AFC. The Ravens and the Steelers are still competing for this number one seed and for their wild card. Broncos against both of those teams, I don't even question at this point. The chances are almost slim that either team wins. Broncos take that. Broncos would take Jacksonville, Houston, or Indianapolis. I truly believe that none of those teams could beat the Broncos. If any team out of that would do it, it would have to probably be Houston. Offensively, the Jaguars have been great this year, but defensively, they've been pretty rough.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And the Broncos are more than capable because they score when it matters almost every time. And they've done it all year. Jaguars probably are going to drop that. The Colts, we know they're going to drop it because as much as I think Jonathan Taylor's an amazing running back, and I love seeing Phillip Rivers out here doing whatever Phillip Rivers is doing, the only team out of those three in the AFC South, the only one I give any consideration to winning anything against like the Broncos, it's going to be the Texans. Their defense is competitive. They have, out of all of the teams in the AFC South, they have the best in points against. And if you want to look at points against them compared to points against the Broncos, they still win that. They have one of the best points against numbers at 228 for the entire season. And their points for ain't sloppy. Offensively, they score. Defensively, they get stops. And they have, especially in the second half of the year, they've proven that they are not a bottom feeder like a lot of people thought. They lost Stroud. Mills came in and just went nuts for no reason. And here we are. So I'm not really scared. If I'm the Broncos, I'm not scared of anybody. The Chargers are, they're not a scary team if you're the Broncos. You already deal with them twice in the year. You're not going to be scared of them. You're not going to be scared of the Jaguars. You stop the run game, you've already got half the battle done, and they're not going to have a problem with that. They're going to destroy Trevor Lawrence. You got the Colts, you're just sacking Uncle Rivers like five times because he can't move. He would be better in a wheelchair. He can't move. Houston, different story. Pittsburgh, Uncle Rogers. Welcome to Rogers' neighborhood, and that's where the Broncos love to reside, in their neighborhood. And they're going to do that all day to Aaron Rodgers. Now, Baltimore is kind of a wild card in that aspect. They can move around. When they put their mind to it, they can run. Lamar can even pass when things are going right. The Broncos are suspect until the end of the game. They don't win the game until the end of the game. That's how the Broncos play. So the only real threat would be the Texans. Baltimore, if they're feeling feisty, might put up a fight. And then you're looking at Buffalo or New England. AFC Championship, I see it right now. It's probably going to be like Buffalo and Denver. Like, I see it. That or Houston goes nuts like I think they might wind up doing. And we see Denver and Houston playing in the AFC Championship. I mean,
you feel real confident about Denver, and I don't like it.
I don't either, but this is what Denver's done all year. And at the end of the day, as good as New England has been, a lot of their games, they've had some nice benefits with their schedule. A lot of the games that they've had to play have been against teams that have fell apart. So you see what happened when they played Buffalo. They lost. It was a good game, but man.
Hold on. It was more than a good game, sir. They actually had the Buffalo Bills beat by about 21-0 at halftime.
And here's why I say that's a good for the Broncos. That's prime time winning right there. That's what they do. They come back and they beat you.
But that's not the case with all of these teams. Like, if the Patriots haven't allowed comebacks from all of their wins or all of their losses, they allowed the Bills to come back. But let's be clear, the Bills have been subpar all year, and they're not going to be able to put up a fight again. Unless Josh Allen, which I hope, by the way, this is not me trying to down talk the Bills. I hope the Bills have found their footing and they're finally ready to play and compete. But I don't think they are.
Look, in a 10-4 record, in a 10-4 record, sir, they've had a good footing the whole year. They just struggled with their games.
Oh my gosh, I hate the fact that when you're looking at the numbers, you feel like that that's the case. It's not. They have been struggling all year, sir. All year. Look at their four losses. Look at their four losses.
11 points for the Bills this year. That is one of the highest.
Look at their four losses.
Yes, but they've put up more points than I think any other team. Yeah, well, almost. Detroit's put up more than them. But that is the third, because the Rams. That is the third highest in the NFL, and they are the highest in the AFC by quite a lot.
Who did they lose to, though?
Do what?
Who did they lose to? That'll tell you if they've been struggling.
Okay.
Who did they lose to?
Let's see. The Bills have lost to... go back and look. I'll tell you in just a second. Cause they've been winning lately.
Once again, this is not a down talk to the Bills. I hope they found their footing. But once again, we weren't talking about the Bills being a Super Bowl team up until they got this easy schedule straight through the playoffs.
Easy schedule?
If they end up going to the playoffs, their schedule will be like a cakewalk.
Okay, so let's look at a couple of these because they have Cleveland and Philadelphia. Philadelphia is not going to be a cakewalk, even though Philadelphia should lose. But it's not going to be a cakewalk. Cleveland, yes, but
cakewalk. Cleveland, cakewalk.
Yes,
Philly,
for sure.
Cakewalk. And there is nothing to Philly. I don't understand why nobody understands this. Philadelphia Eagles are absolutely terrible this year.
But
specifically because they don't have any tricks in their bag.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm not arguing with you on that. I agree with you. But they're not terrible. That's the problem. They're not good necessarily, but they're not terrible. So, hold on. But I want to get back to your talking about the losses that they've had. Okay. I want to talk about the first one back in week 5, because remember, they have not lost since week 12. Now, that's not a long time ago, but they've only lost.
Say, that's been 3 weeks.
That's a long time in the NFL, especially when you're fighting in the division and you're fighting for your playoff spot. They lost week 5 and week 6, and they won a couple of games, lost in week 10, won a game, lost in week 12. So that's your weeks. Week 5 was against the Patriots. They lost 23-20. Very close game, very tight. They turn around week 6, drop the game to the Falcons. Now, the Falcons were a little better back then than they are now. This was when Michael Penix found his footing and he was starting to actually shine a little bit. And the Bills were still trying to figure out what they needed to get corrected to get things together. So, then they lost. They beat the Panthers, mind you, a team. They won 40-9. Then they played the Chiefs, beat the Chiefs. Then they lost in good fashion, of course. They lost, and the Dolphins did well, but 30-13 is a good number. But they turned around and beat the Bucs. Then they lost to the Texans, who by week 12 were in the starting point where they were making a run, and that's what they've been doing. After that, they beat the Steelers, they beat the Bengals, they beat the Patriots. The last three games that they've won have been... And against the Bengals was a good freaking game. You and I have talked about it. It was when Joe Burrow came back. So, the Steelers, they beat them good 26-7. They won a hard game 39-34 against the Bengals, and they won a hard game this past week 35-31 against the Patriots. The Bills are arguably making a case that they could make a run through the playoffs. I'm all for that. It could happen.
They can definitely make a run through the playoffs, but once again, I don't think they're a factor. I think the Patriots are the actual factor in that division. But
why?
That's just my personal opinion.
What,
because
what's your
the Patriots have consistently performed. There hasn't been any inconsistencies in what the Patriots have done. Even in their losses, they've been consistent. They just haven't pulled it out. Once again, if we're looking at the numbers and what their records look like, then we're not actually getting what the games tell us. And the games tell us that they play. The Patriots come to play every single time.
These are
the Bills, on the other hand. No. The Bills, on the other hand, have came to play. And not play as in play football. I'm talking like play on the playground. So, a lot of times. Those losses that they took were unnecessary and unexcusable. Period. Point blank. Those are big losses to teams that had no reason to beat the Bills, sir. What do you mean you disagree? Patriots are the only excuses that they have. It's the only excuse that they have. And it's because the Patriots play consistent football.
All right,
they've been doing it all season. The other teams that they lost to, the Dolphins. I'm down talking my own team, but they lost 30-13 to the Dolphins. And you're telling me that a team like that plays inconsistently like that
earlier in the year?
No way. I don't care if it was earlier in the year.
We're talking about
Josh Allen and the Bills, sir.
About the Patriots. Let's talk about the Patriots.
They've lost
three. The Bills have lost four. The Patriots have lost three. Wow, big crazy stuff. The Bills have only dropped four games. That's it. Okay, let's look at the.
That sounds like one more.
Let's look at the excuses that the Patriots have for losing to the freaking Giants 42-10. What about the Raiders? What about the Raiders whenever they lost to them? What about the Steelers?
CTE scattable. And you're asking why? Why yes. They lost?
100%.
That man was going insane. If he hadn't got hurt, then we'd be talking about the Giants in some of these conversations right now.
I don't disagree.
Scatterboo was a menace.
He is a menace, and I'm excited because I can't wait for him to come back next year because I hope he has all the same energy. However, again, we're talking about the Patriots, comparatively to the Bills, both of them are very even, and the Patriots don't got much. Yeah. I'm sorry, the Giants was a preseason game, disregard. It was the Bills that they lost to, so they lost three games. As the Raiders, the Steelers, and the Bills. I don't know why I was reading that wrong. Okay, the Giants make sense. It was a preseason. Nobody cares. Okay. The Raiders in week one, 20-13. The Steelers in week three, 21-14. They've been on a tear. Then they finally drop 35-31 to the Bills. So they have to play the Ravens. Then they play the Jets. Easy road. Doesn't even matter if they drop one to the Patriots.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
But they got the Jets. I don't believe if I'm looking at the schedule. Listen, let's talk about the schedule for a second.
If I have faith in anybody in this division, it's going to be the Patriots. I'm sorry. I hate the way that the Broncos play. I hate the way that the Bills have let silly games get away from them. I hate the inconsistencies. I hate it all. The only thing that I don't hate out of this division is the way that the Patriots and Drake May have led this division. Period. Point blank.
I'm not dissing the Patriots. I think they're a great team. But when you get into the end of the year, the Bills, historically, have came to play consistently? Who has beat them and stopped their playoff Super Bowl runs every single time? It's been the Chiefs. There ain't no Chiefs this year, sir. Chiefs are gone. They're done. They're irrelevant now. Kudos, shout out to Patrick Mahomes. Hope he gets his ACL back and running good for next year. But I think the dynasty might be a little on the...
Well, we're talking about the Bills for the last couple of years. The Bills that have played for the last couple of years have not been the Bills that have played this season.
This is prime time for them to shine, though.
It is, because they have such an easy road now. But this Bills team has been struggling on the easy games, on the games that they definitely should have won, period. This is my problem, the consistency. Yes, they've won some nice games, but they've also lost some stupid ones.
So
almost lost some of those good games that they had.
So let me run through a couple of these games about the Patriots this year, because I said earlier that their schedule benefited them. Let me do a little something here. So week one, we already know they lost to the Raiders. Week two, they played the Dolphins, 133-27. That was no big one. They scored a lot, but their defense could have cost them. They beat Steelers 21-14. They beat the Panthers week four, 42-13. Now, I want to preface something. This was before Rico Dowdle went nuts. This is before we knew Rico Dowdle was going to be what he was going to be. Chuba was out. Bryce Young was struggling. Okay. They won that game as they should have. They played the Bills week five. They won 23-20. The Bills were struggling early in the year. They were trying to find out their identity. Josh Allen was struggling. The offensive line was a mess. All right. They beat the Saints. An abysmal team led by Spencer Rattler, 25-19. They beat the miserable, I think maybe at that time still winless, Titans, 25-19. They played, 31-13. They beat the 25-19 was the Saints. 31-13, they beat them, the abysmal Titans. Let's go to the Browns. Week eight, I believe, was Dylan Gabriel. They won 32-13. We're seeing a pattern here. The easy games, they win well, okay? The Falcons, they beat 23-24. Week nine, that was when the slide was beginning. Somewhat still in that range where they were still finding their footing with Michael Penix, but I think it was around that time the injury happened. Week 10, Bucks, 28-23. 27-14 in week 11 against the Jets. Not as crazy considering how bad the Jets were. They beat the Bengals 26-20 with Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco was with the Bengals by then. 26-20. They beat the Giants 33-15. A Giants team that was completely savage, had been completely savaged over with injuries. Going to the bye week, week 14. And then they come out and drop 35-31 to the Bills. Now, I hear what you're saying. Okay, I hear what you're saying, but I hear what the stats say. And the stats say the scores, what they did, their story on the field, what they did, their numbers, their points, do not reflect that they win most of their games unless they're easy competition. They win by small numbers against competitive teams. They don't have the ability to blow out a lot of these good teams, including the Bills. Therefore, that is something to be concerned about if I was the Patriots. Your ability to control your opponent's offense or your ability to move the ball and keep up. The Patriots have a glaring problem here, and that is what might cost them in the playoffs, because they, against the best competition you're going to get is in the playoffs, and they might win that first one, you know? They might win. They might even make it to the AFC Championship. But if I'm taking them against the Broncos, who have won hard games almost every single week, or against the Bills, I'm just saying the Patriots are suspect, sir.
Well, the Broncos have yet to impress me. So until they do, they get no love.
Okay. Well, all right. So... Week 15 was crazy. I know we kind of came all the way from where we started with the Packers to where we ended up.
Sir. So we actually need to wrap this episode up.
Yeah. So Week 16's got a couple of big games, a couple of crucial games. Thursday night's going to be the Rams and the Seahawks. It's a really big game in the NFC. Thoughts and feelings on that real quick?
I got the Rams. The Rams are a very dominant team right now, and the Seahawks are letting their dominance slip. In their last couple of games, I haven't seen the same Seahawks. And in the game that they played against each other last, the Rams dominated them. The Seahawks didn't even get a touchdown until the last, till the fourth quarter. And it was a rushing one. It wasn't, Sam Darnold couldn't do anything in that game. So yep. I'm going to go ahead and take the Rams in a dominant fashion because they're coming to play. And I think Stafford's coming for a bowl this year.
Got you. Okay, I agree with that. Packers and the Bears, another really big NFC game, not just because it's my Packers, but because this is a big seeding game entirely. I believe that the Packers have a chance to win this game, but I do think that we are a little bit more exposed, so we'll have to see how it goes. But the Bears tend to lose to the Packers no matter how complicated the Packers are. So my hope is the Packers win. I think it's going to be a fun game, but that's another big game for seeding. Looking over briefly at the AFC, we have the Bucks and the Panthers. Both are 7-7. Both are fighting like cats and dogs for that division. That is one of the worst divisions to be in right now because they're so abysmal. However, what's your thoughts on that game?
I like the Bears. Which game was it?
Bucks and the Panthers.
Bucks and the Panthers. Oof. I don't like what the Bucks are doing right now. The Bucks are Baker Mayfield isn't performing at his highest level, and Bucky Irvin can't get anywhere on the ground. So right now, I think the Bucks are going to have a very fine time trying to contain the Panthers with Bryce Young and Rico Dowdle on the ground. If we're talking about who's been doing what and performing consistently, then we're talking about the Panthers. We're talking about the Panthers taking this game.
Indeed. Okay. Yeah, I actually kind of agree with you. I think the Bucks could win it, but after what I've seen from their defense lately, I think they're very suspect. So I'm in agreement with you on that one. Another big game in the AFC is going to be Denver and Jacksonville, as both teams are number one in their division right now. You know, even though Denver has locked a spot in, this is a big game for Jacksonville. This is one of those games that might give us a little bit of a taste of what I was talking about with teams that we might see that could possibly take out the Broncos. What's your thought on this game? Okay, well, I will give you my thought while you do your thing real quick. My thought is that the Broncos take this game. I don't think, like I said earlier, that the Jags are a team that can beat the Broncos. No.
Sorry about that, sir. My mic started messing up. The Jaguars are a weird team to me, if I'm being honest. They definitely have what it takes to do something, but I don't think it's a win. I don't think it's a dub. I think this will probably be a good game if you want to take some touchdowns, because the Broncos, even though their defense is okay, it's probably the best thing about them. But I think they let it up. They let up a few touchdowns to the Jaguars in this one.
All right. I think Denver takes this win. I think the Jaguars just aren't as good of a team as a lot of people think. And I think the record is beneficial of some things that went really right for them, but I'll give them your kudos. All right, I don't know about you, sir. I think it's time we wrap this up. You know there are some other games, but why not save it for the show? So,
definitely. You all make sure that you tune in to ESPN 680. And check us out, man. We are doing some bigger things, and here soon we will be going live on YouTube and doing some more of these bar shows. So just make sure you guys tune in. The more you support, the more that we can grow. And at the end of the day, that's all we want to do. We want to grow with you. Let's go.
All right, guys. Bye. That should wrap it up. We do want to give a quick shout out quickly to Aspire, one of the brand that we continue to repeatedly mention on this show. It is worth mentioning on repeat every single time. I can't stress enough how beneficial it is to have those in my life. I again, use the code BEYOND. We'll get yourself 20% off on it. It's good stuff. And yeah, we get paid to, you know, we do get paid if you buy, but like, you know, we have to tell you all that, right? But that's just kind of what they require. But hey, it is what it is. I still recommend it. It is what it is. I buy it. So
finally, I buy it, and you should too.
All right, everybody. Tune in to us on ESPN 680. Catch us on our other show, Beyond or Numbers and Beyond, on Metro TV. We got all sorts of good stuff for you. On that, I'm done. Any final thoughts from you, sir?
Well, sir, with that being said, let's get back to the bread. Peace.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.